All right. So this is, God willing, the 11th and last in the series on women in Kriyas HaTorah and Aliyos and so on. We've spent the last several weeks looking at the questions not of the technical issues of whether a woman can lay man making the bracha on the Aliyah or vice versa, the nature of Kriyas HaTorah and so on, but on the Kavod Tzibur aspect of things, and the question of what Kavod Tzibur means when the Gemara tells us, when the Braisa tells us that a woman is not able to get an Aliyah now because of Kavod Tzibur. So we talked about the Braisa's version versus the Tosefta. We talked about what Kavod Tzibur might mean. Is Kavod Tzibur an absolute value? Is it something that can be forgiven? The last section that we've been doing has been a range of other factors that are raised. So we talked about the position that maybe once you have a Baal Kriya, there's no longer an issue of Kavod Tzibur in having a woman receive an Aliyah because she is naturally laning. And we had the response from the article in Tradition from the Frimmers on that. We talked about the record of acting in Halacha for Nachas Ruach Lenashim, in order to satisfy their desire to participate in something, and we gave three cases of it: the need of going to shul, the Gemara and Chagiga, the case of women blowing shofar or blowing shofar for a woman on Rosh Hashanah. And that's what we're up to now. That brings us to a discussion of Kavod HaBrios, and should Kavod HaBrios override Kavod Tzibur. So Kavod HaBrios is a strong halachic factor. That's without question. It is often understood to be based on the message in Bereishis that people are created B'Tselem Elokim, in the image of God. Whatever that means exactly is a longer discussion. The Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Chaf Dalet Halacha Yud, implies that it is an issue for men. It's an issue for Jews, for non-Jews, for everybody. There's a basic dignity of the human being that you are required to respect, and it even will override certain halachas. If you take a look, I brought you a piece of the discussion from Brachos Yud Tes Amud Beis on Techaf Amud Aleph in Source Aleph. Garo Kavod HaBrios Shedocha Lo Sasei Shabbat Torah. Kavod HaBrios is so great that it overrides a biblical prohibition. So the Gemara says, really? V'amai? Why should that be so? Lema, why don't we take the pasuk from Mishlei? Ein Chochma V'ein Tvuna V'ein Eitzel Neged Hashem. You don't get to make claims about what your rights are and what should be and what shouldn't be. If God says no, the answer is no. So how could that be overridden? Because of someone's sense of his own dignity. Tirgama, Rab Bar Shava, Kamei Rav Kahana, V'lav De Lo Sasser. So Rab Bar Shava explained that the answer is we're talking not about every biblical prohibition, but specifically the prohibition against violating rabbinic law. That's what we're talking about. Lo sasur. So in a discussion about Kavod HaBrios, they laughed at him in the Beis Medrash, and they said, Lav de lo sasur de oraisehi. That's a biblical prohibition. Lo sasur. So how have you solved the problem? So Amar Kahana, Gavra Rabba, Amar Milsa lo sachichu alei. Rav Kahana says, a great man says something, you don't laugh at him. The answer that he gives is not clear to me. I've gone through several rounds on this in other contexts. But basically what he seems to be saying is that the Rabbanans are different from the Oraisas despite Lo Sasur, and because of a person's dignity, when the Rabbanan enacted a law, they said it is not... It will not override a person's kavod. In other words, it's built into the Rabbanans that they cannot override a person's kavod. And this has all sorts of applications in halacha. One that's very interesting that the Nishmas Avraham likes to quote is the Sharat Siyun of the Mishnah Berurah in Shinchav Beis Yud Beis. The Sharat Siyun says you could actually violate a deoraisa on Shabbos with a shinui for the sake of Kavod HaBrios. And the case that he brings, keep in mind as we go through our discussions here, because I think it's important to realize how far he's willing to go for Kavod HaBrios, the case he gives is a toothpick. A person has something stuck within his teeth, and he has no way to get it out, and he didn't have the opportunity to prepare a toothpick before Shabbos, he didn't know he was going to be in that location, whatever it is, then he's allowed to take a piece of wood and adjust it in some way to make it usable as a toothpick. with a shinui. You can't fix it in a normal way because that's del reisa. You have to do it with a shinui, and then you'll be allowed to pick your teeth. So on the scale of things that people talk about in terms of kavod habrios, having something stuck in your teeth seems to be relatively minor. I wouldn't place this as being the height of considerations. Nonetheless, maybe that's me. Maybe that's not. Maybe that's subjective. But that's something that to keep in mind. And also the weight of giving it that he's willing to override a deraisa with a shinui on Shabbos is remarkable. And that's high end derabanan, so to speak. So the truth of the matter is that kavod habrios has limiting factors. We don't say everything counts as kavod habrios. And number one, it has to be a very significant concern. Despite what I said to you about the toothpick case, I asked the question of Rabbi Dr. Avram Sofer Avram, the author of Nishmas Avram, some time back, regarding the case of signing a death certificate on Shabbos. This is a question that comes up perennially for doctors who are on call in the hospital on Shabbos. So somebody passes away. You're the one who's supposed to write, who's supposed to sign the death certificate. And so the question was, can you do it with a shinui in order to enable release of the body? So he took the question to Rav Neuwirth, Alav HaShalom, of Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, and he said, Kavod HaMeis, which is what's involved here, because the body needs to be released, he said, Kavod HaMeis is not great enough to warrant the Del Raisa with a shinui in that case. That indicates that there is really some kind of difference in threshold that you have to take into consideration. The Chumos van Hagos has an interesting discussion, which I brought you here in Source Base, regarding reattaching a finger for somebody. He says, Kola heter, banoy al ha-hanacha d'nechshav kavod habrios. He's talking there, if I remember correctly, about, it wasn't just reattaching a finger, it involved a kohen and tumas meis. So the heter would be built on the idea of kavod habrios. Valo atosus b'shvuos, he draws from Tosfos in Shavuos Lamed Amud Beis that Kavod HaBrios has to involve a great disgrace. He gives you an example. The Gemara dealing with a Kohen who is sleeping. And if you tell him that there is tuma in the house and he has to run outside, he's going to run outside without clothing on. So that's a case in which we say gadol kavod habrios. Avokan sheniker shezeu mituuna. But here, in the case at hand, where the person lost his finger as a result of an accident, maybe that's not such a big disgrace for a person to have a chopped short finger. Because everybody knows it came from an accident. No, that's not disgraceful. So therefore, maybe the heter won't apply. On the other hand, if we don't let him do the surgery now, this guy's going to be walking around without a piece of his finger his whole life. So it appears that you could be lenient. Maybe we won't require that he go through this for the sake of either a mitzvah saseh or a shev al taseh, without going into the specifics of the case, because that's not really what I'm bringing it for. My point in bringing this is more to show you that he has a very high standard for what counts as kavod habrios. Right? I mean, he's willing to say, well, if everybody knows that he lost his finger in an accident, I guess that's not really embarrassing. Right? And on the other hand, we have the Sharat Sivan about the toothpick, to pick something out from between your teeth. So I'm not sure what to do. But that's one point, is that kavod habrios only applies with a very grave concern. Number two, kavod habrios only applies if it's a common concern, not something subjective. So Rabbi Leo Bakshi Doron, former Sfaradi chief rabbi in Source Gimel, wrote, Adam prati shemachlit l'chabedes atzmo v'noheg begava she'enu nosei sak o kupa. If you have somebody, some individual who treats himself with honor and dignity, he says, I won't pick up a bag, I won't pick up a box. So his honor, which comes from his own personal cheshbon, his own personal calculation, cannot exempt him from some obligation. Oh, lidchos iser derabanan, or enable him to violate the derabanan. Adarabba, sheyichbosh midosa, v'leivata la mitzvah. Better for him to grow up a little bit. Let him overpower his midos, and let him not cancel the mitzvah. However, one last point within this, and then we'll see how it applies in terms of the women and the aliyos. We do use Kavod HaBriyos arguments when it comes to emotional health. And I bring you a case from the Nishmas Avram that's very instructive in this regard. He deals with a case of somebody who is diabetic and needs to have an insulin pump with him at all times, and he is in an area where there's no Eruv. So are you going to tell me he has to stay indoors all Shabbos long? And he says no. In source Dalet, V'amar li mori rabbi agon rav noiv rishlita, mistaber sheyia muter l'chola kazeh latzeisim hamachshir b'Shabbos. He says, logically, this patient would be allowed to go out with the pump on Shabbos, gam b'makum shein eruv, even without an eruv. However, ach eino rishus harabim gemura. He couldn't do this if it's a full-blown rishus harabim. If it's a full-blown public domain, that's not going to be okay. That's a deraisa now. He could do it im ulavesho so bishinui, assuming he's wearing it in some kind of an unusual way. Kigon, for example, he says, imu korech v'kosher es chagoras habad misaviv l'raglo. If he were to tie the strap of it around his leg, oliado, or his hand, v'tochev shamas hamachat, and he sticks in the needle there, ki tiru iser mitivrei mishum kavod HaBriyos, because we do permit a derabbanon for kavod HaBriyos, v'kam medubar al shvus tishvus, he adds in parentheses, dainu otzar mirushas hayachal v'karmelis bishinui. He says it's a double derabbanon here, really, because you're doing it with a shinui and you're dealing it in a karmelis case, not in a full blown rishus harabim. V'amar li mori rabbi shlita sheyesh mishum kavod HaBriyos becholas ukeres kazeh. The point that I wanted to bring is really the second part of what he says here, that there's kavod HaBriyos with somebody with diabetes like this. Kiloa heter kanal lo yuchol af pam kol yimei chayav, let's say si beis over Shabbos, because if you wouldn't permit this, the result would be that he would be stuck indoors all Shabbos long, every Shabbos. And he says that's a kavod HaBriyos concern. However, he said the heter is specifically for a mitzvah sake, like going to a shir or going to shul. And then he concludes by saying, "Od amar li mori rabbi shlita sha'adam shalom ba af pam lebeis hakneses o leshir torah yedavru alav v'zeh gamki nekra mishum kavod HaBriyos." He says, if the guy never shows up in shul on Shabbos to daven or for a shir, people are going to talk about him and they're going to say not nice things about him. So therefore, there is this issue of kavod HaBriyos on his behalf. So kavod HaBriyos applies in these emotional thing situations as well. Everyone clear? Okay. Having brought that as a framework for Kavod HaBriyos, the argument that Rabbi Sperber makes in an article called Kavod HaTzibur veKavod HaBriyos is this. He goes back to what we said last week about Nachas Ruach LaNashim, the cases in which we wanted the women not to be upset, in the case of Smicha for the Karban, in the case of Shofar for Rosh Hashanah, and we were willing to override what seemed to be halachic considerations. I'm not sure what to do with the case of Anida in Shul, where we said that was just precious Baalma, but in the other cases, we're willing to override some level of Derabanan for it. He says the truth of the matter is that Nachas Ruach LaNashim value is based on Kavod HaBriyos. That's really what it's based on. He brings another example of Kavod HaBriyos, which is the Tzitz Eliezer's tshuva regarding moving muktzah hearing aids on Shabbos. Right? We allow somebody to use a hearing aid that in of itself it requires responsa. But not only that, but we allow them to move the muktzah hearing aid. How is it that you're allowed to do that? And that is indeed Kavod HaBriyos. That's the way the Tzitz Eliezer looks at it. So he says the same principle should be applied regarding women who want to participate in Kriyas HaTorah. He says, based on the fact that Kavod HaBriyos can be used for other things, it can be used for this. And he brings two more very interesting sources. I wanted to look up the latter one and I didn't. Take a look at your sheet at source Hay. Source Hay is a tshuva from Rav Kook. It's a tshuva regarding a practice which apparently was common at some point, that when you wrote a Sefer Torah, the women would be the ones to stitch the cloth together. You know, you have these urios, you have sheets of parchment, they have to be stitched together, so the women would be the ones to stitch them together. Now, that raises a question. because women are, we assume, exempt from writing a Sefer Torah, from the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, and potentially, he says it's a suffix, disqualified from writing a Sefer Torah, and maybe the rule should be that anybody who is disqualified from writing it can also not, is also not able to stitch the cloth together. So Rav Kook has a tshuva on this, where he discusses the ins and outs of the of this exemption, non-exemption. But take a look at what at the piece I brought here towards the beginning of the tshuva. He says, "Hinei, that's an absul regarding this disqualification itself. Shakol tikun asiyasam ayedei misha pasul lichtov." He says the idea that the actual elements of putting together the Sefer Torah cannot be done by somebody who is disqualified to write it. He says, we don't know what the source is for this idea. It must come from some place within Chazal that the Rambam is bringing it. But he says, I don't know where it is. But the argument may be made that in fact that's a derabanan. Ulafizet, according to this, Kevin Sheikr Psul Shalnashim Biksiva Sefer Torah Sfeika Havi, since their disqualification in and of itself to write a Sefer Torah is uncertain, Imkim Yeshlomar Davi Safik Derabanan. So you could say it's a Safik Derabanan. Vyeshlomar Demikomakom Ein Lahachnis Atzmenu Besafik Derabanan Lachatchila. You could make the argument of, so why do that? Let men do it, and you won't have a Safik Derabanan then. He says, since when it came to leaning on the carbon, we said that even though there's concern that you appear to be using a carbon, nonetheless, we permitted it in order to make them more happy, because they were upset about being unable to participate in the carbon. They have this righteous desire to participate. Yeshlomar kevin sheirotas b'mitzvah zu im nimnana mehen havi neged kavod abrios. So he says, look, if you're going to tell me they can't participate in this mitzvah, that will be an offense to kavod abrios. Notice what he did. What Rav Kook did is the basis for what Rabbi Sperber wants to do. What Rav Kook has done is he has linked together Kavod Abrios and Nachas Ruach L'Nashim. So he says, Yesh Lomar Kevin Shein Rotzos B'mitzvah Zu, since they want to do it, if we were prevented, that would be a Kavod Abrios problem. Duhut Rabba Milsa Derabanan. And Kavod Abrios is able to override a rabbinic concern. Hachinami B'nidon Didan. So too in our case, Shekei Nagu, where that is in fact the practice. He says, this is what's being done. Ein Lamonon. We should not prevent them from doing so. So Rav Kook is the source for linking Kavod Abrios and Nachas Ruach. He also brought one more quote, which I thought was very interesting in terms of some of what we said last week. I didn't get to look it up in context. I have the Sefer at home, and I wanted to look it up, and then I completely forgot to. So all I have is the little piece of an article that Rabbi Sperber quotes within his article. And I would rather get to see it in context. I just didn't actually look it up, and you can't find the Sefer online. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik lost a grandson. And in memory of his grandson, he wrote a Sefer called Od Yisrael Yosef Bini Chai, in memory of his grandson Yisrael Yosef. So it's a remarkable Sefer, very worth reading. There's a lot there that you don't see elsewhere on issues in Avelos. And here he has from Simon Lamed Beis, the end of Simon Lamed Beis. And again, I would really be more comfortable quoting it if I could see the entire thing in front of me. But it's not out online, and my Sefer's at home. So this is the piece that Rabbi Sperber quotes in his article. He says, "Hayom kishahayu." He's dealing with the question of women saying Kaddish. So he says, "Kishahayuhudim nilchamim aman shivyon bein gvarim v'nashim b'inyanim kigon ba'ali b'kigon aliyos." He says, today, among Jews, there's a battle for equal rights, equal roles, and men and women being able to both get aliyos. Im rabbanim orthodoxim yimne uminashim lemar kaddish. If Orthodox rabbis will keep women from saying kaddish, ba'od sheyeshna efsharus lahatiras hadavar, when it is possible to permit it. He says, zeyechazek es hashpa asam shel harabbanim hareformiyim vaconservativiyim. That is going to strengthen the influence of reform and conservative rabbis. So you may not prevent them from saying Kaddish. So Rabbi Sperber says, look, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik is willing to do this because of concern for people leaving. In that case, to me, you know, we should be able to justify giving women aliyos. Now, there are two points that must be mentioned here, aside from the fact that I want to see the context. But first of all, it's striking that he says this, given that we saw Rav Aaron Soloveitchik quoted last week, right? If you remember the discussion we had then, Rav Aaron did not seem to be of a mind to bend on things because of people who were leaving. I'm just going to open up the sheet here that I have. Actually, no, we didn't have a quote from Rav Aaron on it. We had a quote from Rav Aaron Lichtenstein on it. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was not willing to set aside Kavod Tzibur in terms of the aliyos, but that was a separate point. What I did want to note is this isn't a Kavod HaBrios point. He's not making Kavod HaBrios point. He's making a Shas HaDchak point. Right? Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's point here is not it's an offense to their Kavod HaBrios. His point is it's Shas HaDchak. Right? Because otherwise they're going to leave. That's number one. Number two, what he's talking about is a personal practice, not a public practice. In other words, whether a woman is going to get up and say Kaddish or not is really about what she chooses to do, other than in the case in which she's only one in shul and then people are going to have to choose whether to respond Yehish Me'rabah or not. It's fundamentally about what she wants to do, as opposed to a communal practice of the community is going to call women up for an aliyah, which I think really is something that has to be looked at separately. I'm not sure that you can extrapolate from Kaddish to an aliyah. So I think those are both points worth considering. But in any case, Rabbi Sperger makes that argument. Sorry, makes that argument. Yeah.
I don't know how much you're giving the dieting, but for Soloveitchik himself seems to be, he mentions the idea of if people want equality with respect to aliyahs and Kaddish. And therefore, at the end, he only permits Kaddish. He explicitly mentions aliyos, he doesn't permit that.
Correct. And that may be why. I think that may be why, because that's private rather than... Yeah.
But,
I agree with you.
What Sperger tried to say, even Rav Aaron Soloveitchik would agree, or he's trying to use that svara to say that... use that same svara.
So it looks like at best what he's trying to do is use it as a sniff lahakel. Meaning that he's saying this is another factor to consider is if not, people will leave. But his whole article is written in, I don't want to use the word sloppy because that's not nice. And he's a Talmud Chacham and you have to be careful. But at the same time, he goes back and forth between ideas and doesn't lay it out in a very clear structure. Also, he makes certain assertions, which is actually my next point here, which he doesn't support. If you take a look, I brought it here on the sheet. In Sur Zion, I brought you three assertions that he makes. Number one, he writes, B'chol zos. Lo barur im zoi kvi'a hilchatit o hamlatza bilvad. After quoting Megillah Chav Gimel regarding Kavod HaBrios, he says, it's not clear whether this is a halachic statement, or whether it's just hamlatza, just a general piece of advice that women shouldn't get aliyos for Kavod HaBrios. I don't feel comfortable saying that, given that every single Sefer Halacha with which we are familiar, right? I mean, every single Sefer Halacha with which we are familiar took it as a halachic statement. I don't know where you can come off saying at this stage in Halacha that maybe it was just a nice idea of, you know, Kavod HaBrios, therefore maybe. It doesn't look like a maybe in the Gemara. That's number one. Number two, his next line, he says, Yesh Rishonim Shapasku. There are Rishonim, there are early authorities who stated, Shevametzav Ragil Yechalos Nashim La'alos LaTorah, that in a normal circumstance, women could get an aliyah. Mitocha Vanasames Hamusav Kavod HaTzibur Kimitzyaches L'matzav HaSpetzifi Shal Kihila Shava Rov HaGvarim. This is a great word. An Alphabetiyim. What does that mean? Once I read it that way, it should be clear. An Alphabetiyim. Illiterate. That's what it is. Analphabetism is illiterate. The Virak Hamanashim Yodos Likra. He says there are Rishonim, which he doesn't name, and he doesn't source, and he doesn't footnote. There are Rishonim who have ruled that this issue of women shouldn't get an aliyah because of Kavod Tzibur applies exclusively in a community where the males are illiterate. But if the males are literate, there's no issue of kavod atzibur. He does not say which Rishonim he's referring to. I don't know which Rishonim he's referring to. I've read an awful lot of Rishonim on this topic, and I haven't seen anybody make this statement. So that's a second one. Where is the basis for this? And then third, he has a third quote in which he says, "Nitan laharot shematan aliyot lenashim haya erua lo nadir bekilot misuyamot." He says it can be shown that the practice of giving aliyos to women was a not uncommon occurrence in certain communities. He does have a footnote there, but it's to a history book that I don't have, and not to a halachic text. I don't know what he's quoting. I would be very interested in seeing it, because there are other occasions in his writing where he quotes a history book or whatever. Once you look it up, you realize that it's not saying that at all, and that it's actually very hard to support. In the Frimmer's article, they point out that he refers to a case from the 19th century of a woman from the great Sassoon family being called up to the Torah. But when you actually start to research it, as they note in their footnote, there's no basis, it seems, for anybody to actually claim that this happened, that the women actually were called up for the aliyah, that the woman was called up at that time for that aliyah that he talks about. It's I'm going to call it up on here just so that you can see it for yourself. It's footnote 303 in the article is the Sassoon case. But he does this. And it makes me very uncomfortable when it comes to relying on things that he says. I'm not comfortable with this as scholarship. And once he will make an assumption like this, he then continues in this vein, taking it as a given that this is so, as though it's already been established. But his argument is essentially a kavod abrios argument, in which he also brings these other assertions as ways to add in, like, well, after all, kavod atzibur might not be a halachic statement. Well, after all, kavod atzibur might only apply in the case of an illiterate minyan. And kavod atzibur, you know, and women may actually have gotten aliyos in minyanim at times in history. That's his argument. He also argues that the fact that Maharam Bar Baruch and the Ran could accept Sha'as HaDchak Aliyos for women, the cases that we talked about last week, right, like the case of a community that's all where all the males are Kohanim, that shows that it's not entirely prohibited for a woman to have an Aliyah, which we have noted. We could argue that Sha'as HaDchak is different, but yes. So that's the argument that Rabbi Sperber makes in his piece. And this piece was actually published in a couple of different places. It's very interesting to see the variations when it's published in different places. There are certain things that make it in one case and don't make it in others. I'm going to come back to this a little bit later if I remember. Rabbi Chaim Navon of Gush Etzion replied in an article that is available online. I gave you the tiny URL link that the Frimmers gave for it, but you can find it easily on the Gush site and just search for this quote. He makes two points in response. Number one, he says in the first paragraph of Source Ches, I'm not going to read them aloud in the interests of time, you can see it for yourself here. But his first paragraph, he says, you know, it's not really such a great disgrace, a point of the Frimmers try to make also in footnotes 341 and 342. And number two, he says, the only reason they're upset about this is because they've chosen to believe an ideological system which says that it's denigrating if you don't get the same things that men get. But you don't have to believe in that system. That's not part of the Torah. I think both points that he makes are questionable. I'm not clear on why kavod habrios. The first point he makes about the subjective nature of it, I have to agree with, because we've already seen sources. Kavod habrios depends on magnitude. I just don't know how to evaluate the magnitude. I don't know. His second point, you chose to believe that. That's true of everything. In, you know, every kavod habrios situation, meaning you chose to be a part of society that views, that views having something stuck between your teeth as embarrassing, and you're going to use that as a basis for being able to violate a deraisa with a shinur on Shabbos to prepare a toothpick. But who asked you to believe that? Maybe you should believe that it's actually very honorable to walk around with food between your teeth. Maybe if you lived in, I don't know where, Samoa, it wouldn't be an insult. I don't really grasp his second point.
The second point, as well, he says that you chose, but most, since this usually happens in North America, the situation that women want to live. Most modern women don't choosing to live here. They just grow up in a society where it's assumed they're going to go to college, it's assumed they're going to have equal rights. It's been going on since the 60s and 70s. So why are they choosing that? And they're not going to go move out to Syria and say, I want to live that life.
Right.
Like, what's the real choice here?
Yeah, I'm not clear on what choices even being made. As you said, you know, this is part of the world in which people live. I'm not so enthralled with his second idea. And the first one, again, I don't know how to evaluate that. I'm not a woman, first of all. Right? And I think that to a certain extent, you have to be one in order to know the level of embarrassment involved. I think it's kind of hubris to walk up to somebody who says, I'm upset, and say, no, you're not. Or, yeah, but you're not that upset. You know, who asked you?
I mean, there's certainly a difference in terms of getting an aliyah. It's not embarrassing to come over from shul and get an aliyah. Like, how many people get aliyahs every Shabbos? It certainly is embarrassing if you walk out and you're not wearing any clothes. Like,
but again, that's because if I wanted to argue this point from the other side, I would say to you that that's because you have the theoretical option of getting an aliyah. There's a difference between, I didn't get an aliyah this week because I dominated the bayit and there were 1,000 other people there, you know, 200 of whom were chiyuvim, and I went to shul and they wouldn't even consider me. They won't consider me. They block me out. I mean, it's hard because I don't even know what this is like.
Right.
Meaning, if I walked into a minyan and they said, we don't like you because you wear a struga under your hat, and therefore we won't give you an aliyah, I would be annoyed. I would be annoyed because I think they're wrong. And I don't know if that's called embarrassed.
Right.
I don't know. But I can't speak for the women who are upset. This is entirely too difficult to do. The Frimmers, in their article in Tradition, by the way, they corrected it, something that I didn't know in my email dialogue with them. I mentioned, one of the things that came up was, you know, well, Leah Sawa came up. That's for an email, not for a recorded shiur. But they did know this article is actually available for free online on the RCA's website. I had assumed it was only accessible to people who actually had Tradition, but it actually is openly accessible on the RC website, which is rabbis.org. So I didn't know that. If you can't find it there, let me know. They sent me a link to where it is. But it's not true that it has to be for pay only. In any case, the Frimmers, in their discussion of this, disagree with Rabbi Sperber because of several points. Number one, they claim that Kavod HaBrios is not open to everybody's decision of I am offended, which we've talked about. Number two, they make the magnitude argument. They also make another argument, which was an interesting one, but I don't necessarily think it works. They make the argument that there's a difference between refraining from giving honor and actively causing disgrace. Like sort of a Shei Bel Tase versus Kumbase type of a thing, where if you do something insulting to somebody, that's worse than simply refraining from giving them honor. My problem here is that I checked. If you want to see more on this, look at footnotes 339 and 340. I looked at two of their sources for this, and I didn't find that they supported that distinction. One source is Tess on your sheet. Rav Moshe there is talking about a levaya and not being able to go to a levaya. So he says, "B'inyan kohanim krovim urachokim umutarim lilvos kishetzvichem likanis b'soch arba amos shakivrei meisim acherim." Right, you surely, if you've been to a Jewish cemetery, you know that they put the graves of the kohanim at the edge of the cemetery, not in the middle. And one of the reasons to do this is because even though there's a heter for immediate family, not a heter, there's a mitzvah for immediate family of Kohanim to go to their levaya, they're not supposed to go near other people's graves. That's still a problem. There are other reasons, but that's what Rav Moshe is discussing here. Someone writes to Rav Moshe and says, no, they should be able to go near other people's graves when they're going there for the sake of burying their own mace. So Rav Moshe, in his tshuva, says, as part of it, it says, Yesh lidon mitzad heter de kavod abrios im yesh bahavaya sameis. So he says, part of this we have to discuss. Is there a kavod abrios issue when you're dealing with levaya? Avol mashma pashut de heter b'shvil kavod abrios hu rak ba'ofen shu bizayon. Where Moshe says, kavod abrios only applies in a case in which it would be shameful. K'had lifsho begad of b'shut b'motzei kilayim. Like removing someone's clothing in the marketplace if he's got shatneys in them. V'chein tzarech lomar b'ha de avel b'bitmeya. There's a Gemara that we're going to see in a little bit in Brachos, in which we talk about the possibility. We'll see it in the Meiri in Brachos, I should say. That talks about the following case: they buried somebody, and then the Avel is going home. There are two paths he could walk on. One path involves Tumah Derabanan, and one path is Tahor. The Avel walks on the Tameh path. So do they now? They, including Kohanim. Do they walk with the Avel to be Menachem Avel on the path that involves Tumah Derabanan? Or do they go on the Tahor path and leave the Avel alone? So according to one Girsa there in the Gemara, it says, Avel Babitmeya, if the Avel walks on the path involving Tumah, Boin Imo Bitmeya Mishum Kvodo, they escort him for his honor, even though it means the Kohanim are becoming Tameh. Because it would be disgraceful for him if they wouldn't escort him the way that they escort others. And greeting kings, he says, if they weren't to greet kings, also a case involving Tumah, to go greet the king, that also it would be shameful if you didn't greet him. So he says the distinction is that if by not escorting him you would disgrace the body, then we would permit it. Because there's also kavod abrios for the dead, not just for the living. Now, that's an interesting discussion of itself, because Rabbi Dr. Abraham, in an email to me, seemed to distinguish between kavod ames and kavod abrios. But Ramosha here is saying that kavod abrios of the dead is also involves a heter of kavod abrios. My point in bringing this, though, is that they use this in a footnote on the distinction between active and passive. It's to insult somebody, that's bad. But you don't have a heter of kavod abrios about failure to do something for someone, like failure to give them an aliyah. But I think Ramosha here is not saying that at all. Ramosha even indicates that failure to go to a funeral could indeed be an offense to kavod abrios. You follow? So I'm not clear on using that. Also, they mention Rav Yair Bachrach in the Chavos Yair in Source Yud, but once again, I don't see it there either, because he's dealing there with a case of Kavod Abrios and Kibud Abbeim. In the discussion in the Chavos Yair, he does not make an inaction-action split either. He says, Ma'in Kibud Av, Masha Mitzava Libno Beseser Aseikach, He says, how can you compare Kibud Av, when the father tells the son, do X, versus Kavod Abrios, which is only in the case of a public embarrassment? His distinction is not between active and passive. His distinction is between scale, lesser magnitude and greater magnitude. So I'm not so sure about this distinction between active and passive. For that, the distinction they make, I do accept, and I think it's clear that there's a distinction based on magnitude. That we know. They also make another very interesting argument, though. They argue that kavod sibur is a greater value than kavod abrios. In other words, let's say it is a kavod abrios issue. Let's accept that it's kavod abrios. Nonetheless, kavod sibur is greater than kavod abrios. And they point you to a tshuva of the Beis Yehuda in Source Yid Aleph, where he writes, I guess Beis Yehuda, I think it's Rabbi Yehuda Ayash, but I'm not sure. He says, V'chi tema, v'harei efshar lasos likros ba'al peh, v'li natzel mikavod atzibur. He's talking about the case in which you have a psul in the Sefer Torah. Okay, so we said you can't read from a psul Sefer Torah because of kavod atzibur. So he says, but wait a minute, you could read ba'al peh, and that way they would not be embarrassed, right? Like the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur in the Gemara in Yuma. Halasa, he says, it's not so. Decree about peh, he asura min hadin. He He says, reading by heart is usur, letter of the law. Mishum didvarm shebeksavi atarashe laomram baalpeh. Because you're not allowed to say psukim out loud by heart. You're not supposed to do that. Veloi tirua elecha diika miut kavarat sibur. The only time they permitted that was the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash because of kavarat sibur. The Gadol kavarat abrios. Because the kavarat abrios is great. Avo betaus shehu davar. Avo betaus. You caught that? I'm going to come back in 1 second. You caught it. Avo betaus shehu davar mikri. But with a mistake in the Torah, which is something that just happens. Ve'eno kavua. It's not kavua. V'lo nase b'kavana. It's not on purpose. Tevaka b'kiyagavna g'nai l'tzibur. It's not insulting to the community. It's not a disgrace to the community. It just happened. Lama nati b'chinam kriya b'alpeh. So why should we permit reading by heart? It's not such a disgrace to say, I'm sorry, they didn't have a kosher Sefer Torah because there was a mistake in the Sefer Torah. But Josh caught it. He blended together Kavarat Tzibur and Kavarat Brios, and he said, there is a diminution of Kavarat Tzibur in the case where they can't read in the Beis HaMikdash, because Kavarat Brios is great. In other words, what he's saying, and this is what the firmers want you to see here, is that Kavarat Tzibur and Kavarat Brios are fundamentally the same thing. It's just that Kavarat Tzibur is Kavarat Brios at large. Kavod HaTzibur is Kavod HaBrios of the community. That's the statement that he draws there. Because that's clear in the Beis Yehuda. And once you say that, the argument is then, well, if I have Kavod HaTzibur, which is the entire community, and they have Kavod HaBrios of the individual women who want aliyos and can't get them, so the community's Kavod HaBrios will override the individual's Kavod HaBrios. That's the idea.
Couldn't you also say that the cover of the tzibur is for the men, and then the cover of the tzibur is for the women?
Only if you can assume that it's all the women that actually want this, and that there's an equal. No, I don't know how you get right into the calculating this. The other point that he makes within this is that you have the Mi'iri on that discussion that I brought earlier in Rav Moshe about traveling on the road with some of the Rabbanan in order to accompany an Avel. Excuse me. So the Me'iri there discusses this. And see what he says in Yud Beis. Kavod HaBrios chaviv ad ma'od. Ein lecha mida chaviva mimena. There's nothing greater than Kavod HaBrios. Klal gadol amru. Gadol Kavod HaBrios shedocha kolosa asei shumi divrei sofrim lavar ala bakumba asei mi Kavod HaBrios. Right? Kavod HaBrios is so great that it will override the Rabbanans. Fine. Lefichach, therefore, he says, Kavru es hameis v'chazru v'haya ha'avel kohen. If they buried the dead, and now they're leaving the cemetery, and the mourner is a kohen, so that's the case he's giving right now, is the mourner is a kohen. V'hayu sham shnei drachim, and there were two paths. Achas aruka u'tahara, a long route, which is tahor. V'achas kitzara u'tmeya, l'shem batumim en ha'tahor l'midivrei sofrim, and then a shorter route, which has tumah, but it's only tumah derabanan. And the tzibur is all using the short path, which involves tumat derabanan. Af ha'avel va'imahem. In his nusach of the Gemara, the mourner goes with them. Mibnei kavod tzibur shalol lahatricham, because of kavod for the tzibur, so as not to make them go out of their way. So you see, the individual does not outrank the community. That's the point that the firmers make, is that the community's kavod comes first. They also point out another factor, which is kavod HaBrios overrides things temporarily, not permanently. Now that's actually a machlokas. That's not clear cut. This is an old issue. It came up in a case which shows up in various tshuvos over the last several centuries. Rachmana Litzlan. The case involves a young man who writes away to the posig saying, I have a problem. My problem was that I ended up sort of involved with a married woman. And now, I feel terrible. I'm doing tshuva. But I want to know, do I tell her husband? Because it was consensual. And therefore, she is now usher to her husband. So if I don't tell the husband, then every time he's with her, he's violating a prohibition. He's supposed to be getting divorced. But on the other end, if I do tell him, what about kavod HaBrios? So this case comes up, and there are various tshuvos on the issue. The Note of Yehuda deals with this
in Nota Bihuda Kama, it's in the first edition, Or Chaim Lamed Hei, and he quotes you the Rush, who quotes the Yerushalmi regarding the Shatnez discussion about telling somebody they're wearing Shatnez. Take a look at the Rush here in Sosyet Gimel. Yerushalmi. Harei she'alach b'shuk v'nimtza lavush kilayim. A person is walking in the marketplace, and it turns out he's wearing Shatnez. So trei namorayin, there is a machlokes amorayin, chad amar asur, meaning asur lilbosh, v'chad amar mutter, one says he's not allowed to wear it, he has to get rid of it where he is, and the other says no, he's allowed to. Manda asar, the one who said he's not allowed to wear it, dvar Torah. That's because what you're saying is, this is a de'oraisa. Uman de matir, the one who permits it, is kida amar Rabbi Zera, is as Rabbi Zera said, gadol kavod abriyo shedoches hamitzvah belosa asay sha'achas. Because he says kavod abriyos is so great it will override a lo sa'aseh sha'achas. He added two words. Temporarily it will override it, but not permanently. That's the view that the Rush brings from the Yerushalmi. I should note, though, I didn't want to make this a shir about kavod abriyos entirely, but not everybody agrees. The Divrei Chaim, the Sanzer, and Or Chaim Lamed Hei argues that the limitation to sha'achas is actually incorrect, based on a Tosfos Shvuos Lamed Amud Beis, who says that sha'achas only applies if we view the Avera as an action. If it's a Shevel Taseh, then it doesn't. So there's what to discuss in that regard. But that's another point that they make, is you would not just be overriding Kavod HaTzibur once. You'd be overriding Kavod HaTzibur forever by licensing women to get aliyos. Another argument that they make is that Kavod HaBrios is about shame which comes from an external circumstance which is the result of observing halacha, as opposed to shame of observing halacha itself. Meaning, let's take the Shatnez case, right? You pull the guy's Shatnez clothing off in the marketplace, right? You tell him that he has to get rid of the Shatnez clothing. So his embarrassment is not, I am embarrassed because I'm observing the laws of Shatnez. It's, I'm embarrassed because I'm not wearing clothing. Right? You see the difference? So here, you're talking about the women being upset because of the halacha. They're not upset, I am sitting in shul and not being called up to the Torah. They're upset about the halachic system that is saying you will never be called up to the Torah. This is a point that is made in separate contexts. The Mishpatei Uziel made this point in Sos Yedaled regarding autopsies. He says, Ula mashakasav harav agon dimishum kavod Yisrael shelo yomru ha'amim ha'am hazem mekel rosho b'tikun ha'olam beino choshesh l'to'ala sabriyos tzarche achayim. Ule kavod ha'uma docha nivol amesim. He says the person who wrote to him said to him that if you don't allow autopsies for the sake of medical research, you know what people are going to say? People are going to say that this nation, the Jews, aren't concerned about the benefit of the world and the math lessons that could be learned from doing the autopsies. So he says the people are going to look at us funny. That's bad for the kavod of the Jewish people. To which Rav Uziel responds, Ani Omer delo shmi'ali. I haven't heard this. Kolomar lo svirali. He's using the Gemara's terminology. I haven't heard this, meaning I think he's wrong. De'ein ze kavod ela kolon. That would not be our honor to be seen as going along with this. That would be our shame. V'dumya dehachi amru sahadi shakri a'ugrayu zili v'chol kavod Yisrael hu v'taraso u'mitzvosav shebahem hivdilanu mikol ha'amin. He says, you know who says things like this? False witnesses who are worried about getting paid. Those are the ones who will say that. He says, our honor is in our observance of Torah. Umasha Amru, here's the key point. Umasha Amru, Gadol Kavod HaBrios Shedocha Losas HaShebetorah. Vishadochim Isur Dvarim Shabiksavi Atarasha La Omram Baal Pe Uchadome. When we say that we are going to override things for Kavod HaBrios, like the Isur of Dvarim Shabiksavi Atarasha La Omram Baal Pe, Hainu Hecha Shabbaim Lachlo Kavod Laatsmenu Ola Acherim Shanu Chayavim Bechvodam. That's when you're dealing with honor for us or honor of others we have to show honor to. Avalomar shanu misbazim bi iser Torah, but say we are degraded because of the iser. Veshanu tzvichim levatlam et ne'er kavod. Zeu chilul kavod haTorah v'amitzvah. V'no sein yad lakor iser Torah. He says just the opposite. That's a terrible thing. That's a degradation of Torah, of mitzvahs, and so on. Mishum shelo yomu ha'amim sh'anu am nivdol v'nifrad machzik b'no shanot u'kidomeh. That you're worried about the nation saying that these Jews are different and they hold on to old ideas. V'yishtaka davar zeh v'lo yeh amer. He said that should sink. It should be buried and not said.
Is also an external factor?
Well, that's... What do you mean?
The external factor is that the other nations will say something about us.
Right, but what they're going to say about us is that we don't honor Torah. And I'm sorry. What they say is our Torah that we honor is benighted.
As opposed to
if you take off your clothing, where it's not that people are going to say, "Look, he observes Shatnez." It's people are going to say, "Look, he's not wearing clothing." The embarrassment is from an external thing, independent of Torah. In other words, if we were a nation that didn't contribute to the world's knowledge of medicine, because we didn't have any corpses, because nobody died, so no one would look at us and say, "Look, they're not contributing to knowledge of medicine." The case here is they're going to say they observe a Torah that won't let them contribute to knowledge of medicine. I hear what you're saying, but I think that's the way it's framed. And in Tesvav, you find it in Rav Moshe. In the interest of time, I'm just going to tell you what he says, but you can see it in source Tesvav. He deals with a case, hold on one second. He deals with a case of a woman who is concerned about observing the harchakos of Nida. The ways that she distances herself from her husband when she is in Nida, which are publicly visible, like not passing things hand to hand or whatever it is. And she says, what about Kavod HaBrios? So he says, well, Kavod HaBrios is involved. The degradation of the fact that you honor the laws of Nida. He says, it's not that you're going to be embarrassed that you're in Nida. Because everybody knows, women go through menstrual cycles. And it's not that you're going to be embarrassed that you're following the Torah, because that's not Kavod HaBrios. That's not, that doesn't work that way. Now, the truth of the matter is, the Gemara does say in Erevin that you're not supposed to let people know when you're going to mikvah. People are not supposed to know when your mikvah night is. But that's different from knowing that there's such a thing as being a nida. Now, there are arguments that could be made regarding letting people know that you're a nida also, because in truth, we do avoid that. But his central point, and the reason it's brought here, is his statement of, don't be embarrassed that you're observing the Torah. That's not a Kavod HaBrios consideration. Adam, you were going to say?
I was just going to say about the autopsy case. I understand why nowadays we let doctors heal non-Jews on Shabbos, because that has a real kuat nefesh type of thing. But can we just say as Jews, we don't do autopsies because our religion doesn't want to desecrate the dead? Isn't that a good answer that we have to them? You know what I'm saying? It's
You're asking a separate point on the autopsy discussion.
Yeah.
All right, so if you want, we can talk about this after, because there's what to say on the autopsy point. There are things to be said. And Rav Nebenzahl makes this point also. Rav Nebenzahl makes the point in an article that's available online regarding Yochanan Kohen Gadol's enactment of the laws of Demai, where if I buy produce from an Amaretz, then I'm going to have to separate Trumos, or not Trumos, but I have to separate certain Maestros. So, well, why don't I worry that that's going to embarrass him? That's it. This is the law. You need to make sure that Truman and Meister are being separated. They also make a point that, and I'm not so sure, I'm not so clear on this one, but they say, after all, the laws of women not getting aliyos were set up with knowledge that some might resent it. And they overrode that concern. They quote the Bnei Banim of Hankin on the Brach of Shalom Asani Isha. So in Tezayin, the Bnei Banim writes, he's dealing with the question of whether it's better to skip it or not say it out loud or whatever. So he says, Levarach Shalom Asani Isha hi gufa takanas chazal. Vim heilo chashu balazilusa anad hechi nechush. They made the takana. If they weren't worried about it being embarrassing, so I should worry about it being embarrassing. That's the argument. Which reminds me of a similar argument made by Rav Shlomo Zalman regarding medicine on Shabbos. I brought it in Source Yud Zayin. When people say, well, you should be allowed to take medicine on Shabbos if you're uncomfortable, if you're in pain, because after all, You're not supposed to be in pain on Shabbos. So Shlomo Zalman notes, they knew that when they made the decree. When they said, you can't use medicine, who did they think they were talking to? Obviously, they were talking to people in pain. And they said, no, granted that, it reaches a certain threshold of disrupting Onik Shabbos, you can't get up and walk around, whatever it is, then we do take medicine. I'm not denying that we do have the heder. But ground level of saying, well, if I'm in pain, I should be allowed to take medicine. No, the very definition of the gezeirah was, don't. So you can't have it both ways. The response to this argument, I think, is that in those days, egalitarianism wasn't pressuring for women's aliyos. In other words, this wasn't the phenomenon that they were dealing with in those days. So I'm not so sure about this. They go on to make three other arguments that Kavod HaBrios really isn't, to argue that Kavod HaBrios isn't such a strong halachic argument. In footnote 355 and 356, they talk about not expanding Kavod HaBrios beyond the initial cases that are found in the Gemara. They also bring in footnote 357 an interesting argument that Kavod HaBrios only applies to four basic areas. Kavod of the dead, personal hygiene, nudity, and the family unit. And doesn't apply beyond those. And then in footnote 358, they argue that Kavod HaBrios is generally used to override a chumrah, not to override a clear halacha. I didn't go into these in the interest of time. I've referenced the footnotes for you. Go learn. But we have more to see. But that's the Kavod HaBrios discussion. Again, to recap, the argument from Rabbi Sperber is that we permit things for Nachas Ruach L'Nashim. Kavod HaBrios is linked to Nachas Ruach L'Nashim, as Rav Kook showed. Therefore, we should also permit Aliyos along those lines, and along the way, he has other reasons to minimize the concern for Kavod HaTzibur. Their response, the Rabbi Navon response, is it doesn't have the magnitude, and it's your decision to believe in that system. The Frimmers, in their argument, argue against it for numerous reasons, among them saying that this argument about magnitude, saying that not giving someone an aliyah is not the same as actively causing disgrace, which I question that point. Arguing that Kavod HaTzibur is greater value than Kavod HaBrios, it's really Kavod HaBrios at large. Arguing that this would be an overriding of the halacha for permanently, not just Shah Achas. Arguing also that Kavod HaBrios is only shame due to an external circumstance, not shame of observing the halacha. Arguing that when the whole rule was made, it was understood that some might resent it, and that's just the way it goes. And then the last three points that I mentioned briefly that you have to go look up in their footnotes. But going right through here, two last arguments are made against giving women an aliyah. One argument is Minhag Yisrael, which I brought you a quote from the Frimmers in page 108 over onto 109. They say, Jews are bound not only by law, but by Minhag as well. This is all the more true when the custom is widespread throughout Klal Yisrael. That's their point. Rabbi Sperber is very harsh in his response in Yud Tes. He says, Ani savur ki harayona b'sisi shemacharei t'guva me'inzu hu ki ba'on Hilchati. He says, I believe that, or I think, that the fundamental idea behind this is kiba'on. Kiba'on is sort of fixedness, like from the word keva. Like you're stuck on something. You're sort of mired. Inflexibility. Halachic inflexibility, I think, is probably the way to translate it. He says, Kan magi'im l'she'elat ha'talich ha'ilchati. He says here, we get to the question of how the halachic process is supposed to work. Hayim halacha mitkavat bizman kol shehu. Does the halacha ever become fixed? Meaning, at this point, you're no longer able to change it. The shama nitkava halacha be'irua histori shekara b'me'ah ha-19, kasher kava chatam sofer, was halacha set in the 19th century, when the Chasam Sofer established, and then continuing from him to the Chazanish, et matbeah halashon chadash asur min haTorah, o shema alenu lamar lo, halacha ishira tamid petach legmishut shetuchalat im atzmal imtziut ulishinuyim. Maybe we should argue, he says, that the halacha always left room for flexibility to match itself to different times and changes in society. Sherei af echad lo chah hayom lefi shulchan aruch. He says, nobody today lives according to the Shulchan Aruch. Rav Kook said, the old will be renewed and the new will be sanctified. So I mentioned before, this article appears in a few different places. So in one place, I saw it in the journal Deot, I saw it with this full quote. It appeared in another place, I'm forgetting where the other venue was, and that last point from the Shaharei until Yit Kadesh was missing. I don't know if it was missing because it was considered too shocking, saying, hey, no one lives like the Shulchan Aruch today, because we have Achronim afterwards who, it's true, in certain regards have amended what was recommended by the Shulchan Aruch. I don't know, but it was missing from that other piece. But his point is, he thinks inflexibility is, in principle, inappropriate.
He gives no parameters, though, when, certainly he holds by minhag, he gives no parameters whatsoever when minhag doesn't apply.
Yeah, in general, he just, I don't really get what he does. I'm troubled. The last part that I wanted to do is the Kol Isha discussion, which the Frimmers have at length sources on in footnotes 239 and 240. So two significant Rishonim indicate.
This isn't an Aliyah question. This is a late.
The laning question, and it ties into the brachos also, as you'll see. So the two significant Rishonim indicate this is a problem of Kol Isha, and even getting on even just the brachos. The Orchos Chaim in Hachos Megillah Upurim is the one I'm going to quote. His view is also quoted in the Kolbo, and he quotes a sefer called the Aseres Hadibros, which is also, the author is the Bala Itur, who is a known Rishon. His work is quoted in the Torah, Shulchan Aruch. This is a serious Rishon. So he quotes, he says, the Habala Aseres Hadibro Zal Kasav. I assume it's Vahabal, is that the Vav Hei Bei's apostrophe. Vahabala Aseres Hadibro Kasav, She'ein HaNashim Motzias HaAnashim B'Kriyasan. He said, women may not lean for men. Ve'atam Mishum Dekol Be'isha Erva. And the reason is Kol Isha. Ve'af Agav Demadlikos Ner Chanukah Umivarchos. Granted, they light menorah and they make a bracha on that. And that's how I know he's talking brachos, not just singing. Lo Dami. He says, the fact that women can make a bracha on Yer Chanukah is not the same. Lefi she'ein tzarech she'yu sham ha'anashim be'ez hadlaka, because who says men have to be there when they light? So let them light and make brachas, and the men won't hear the bracha. So that indicates that even brachos are an issue. The only heter for the menorah is because men don't need to be around. So that's the source for saying it's a Kol Isha problem. What's the problem with saying that it's Kol Isha? The Gemara. Because the Gemara said women may get an aliyah if not for Kavadat Zibur. If the real issue is Kol Isha, or if a real issue is Kol Isha, then number one, how was it that they said HaKol Ol Naminyan Shiva, that at some point women did get aliyos? And why did you say Kavod Zibur? Right? You follow the problems? How did they ever get aliyos? And why didn't the Gemara mention this as a factor? But on the other hand, how could it not be Kol Isha? Even if you'll tell me brachos are okay, they're not singing the bracha, right? When they get called up, they don't sing Hasher Bachar Banu, they just say the words. But but laning itself, how could that not be Kol Isha? So the answers for this are threefold. The first answer is Kol Isha is an issue, and there are ways to resolve the Gemara and Megillah that didn't mention it as an issue and that women got aliyos. The first approach is to say the Gemara and Megillah is talking about a non-nida single woman for whom Kol Isha is not an issue. Or alternatively, it's talking about reading the psukim and not singing them and leave aside the issue of the brachos. In other words, if you just read words, you're not in violation. And the Tzitz Eliezer mentions this in Source Kapal. The Tzitz Eliezer thinks it is a Kol Isha problem. He says, Rishis, it's Source, actually, I don't know if it's Kapal on yours. I changed my numbering system along the way. I'm correcting the mistake. It's Kapal on yours. This is Rishis. Hazemo du kule amma, dipnuya she'enena nida, enena bichlal arayos. He says, everybody agrees that a single woman who is not a nida is not one of the arayos. Vigam, mutter mishma kol zemer mimena, you can hear her sing. Ugidamadish Gama Mishnah Brura, as Mishnah Brura himself notes, Vakose the Pnuya Shinida Bakhlala Arayos. He says if she's a Nida, then she is among the Arayos. No, no, Mitzias. In other words, if she went to mikvah, you won't have a problem. That's what he's saying. V'chein ki kol zemer shel pnuya rak b'sh'as kriya shma asur. The sound of a pnuya singing is only asur when you're saying shma. Ava shalo b'sh'as kriya shma shari. But not at other times. V'in kein, and if so, ilu hayinu boyam Allah mishum kol b'isha erva. Had you come to the point of saying, we want to explain why women shouldn't get an aliyah, and we're going to tell you it's because of kol b'isha erva, then I would have said, haya mutter. This would have been mutter, right? Aval le'isha pnuya she'enan, haya mutter aval. In truth, it would have been mutter. Le'isha pnuya she'ena nida, lalos l'minyan shiva, v'likro v'tzibur v'sha'as atzarech. They could link. Aval karasinan alam ipnei kavod atzibur. But when you mention it's kavod tzibur, that's an issue. Then, azay le'isha aser she'tikro v'tzibur b'chol gavna, v'afilu pnuya she'ena nida. Then it'll ban all the circumstances. And that's why they chose to mention Kavod Tzibur as the issue, which is global. That was already sufficient. That's number one. Number two, a second case that is covered by this. He says, laning with the notes is not makiv. You're not supposed to lane without the notes. But if you did, it's not. It doesn't prevent the laning from being valid. But since the issue is kavod tzibur, then she can't get up and do it, even if she's not singing the notes. So the Tzitz Eliezer's approach is a popular approach. It's not just him. I brought him because he was the easiest one to cut and paste. But the Tzitz Eliezer says the Gemara was talking, wanted to include the case of the non-nida single woman or not singing the notes. Okay.
Still seems tough.
Yes. Yes.
A woman can read. A woman.
Yeah. Yeah. The second one within this approach that Kolisha really is in fact a problem. This is a unique approach. Rav Chaim David Alevi in Aseh L'Charav says, "I'll tell you why." Hine al pidin isha ola l'minyan shiva kayadua. Letter of the law, the woman can get lilia. Ve'afu became manuzos rabosenu, but the rabbanan said not to. And there are some who say a woman could also lay in Megillah for a man. Hadavar Shani b'machlokes, as we know, with Lishmawa, Likro, fine. The Ava became Kasvu Shalom Lasos Kain Ela Bidi Eved Kishain Ish B'Makom Sheyodei Likro. But they said it shouldn't be done, other than if there is no man around who knows how to lay. V'atam Shekol Beisha Erva. The reason for the Gemara saying women shouldn't do this is Kolisha. In other words, Kavod HaTzibur equals Kolisha. You follow? What's the big flaw in this? The big flaw in this is that why then is it ever mutter? Kolisha is a serious isser. You can't just say, well, I'm sorry, we have no one around who can lane. So I'm not clear on what Rav Chaim David Alevi would do.
Shouldn't be. It seems like it should be
mitzvah blah blah there. Yeah. So I don't know. But it's striking the way he does that.
Did the Eved call like we wave Kolisha?
I don't think it's true.
That also means Kolisha wasn't a factor if that means that only once they said it covered the seaboard that was a problem. And that means until then Kolisha also wasn't.
Yeah, this is very hard.
The fact of the last two sentences, the sentence he says, we do it for the Eved, but then it says only for the Eved because Kol Ishi must mean that Kol Ishi Ibrahim is talking about some general principle of protection, and he's not actually talking about the actual Isser. Otherwise, those two sentences wouldn't be justified.
I hear you. But it's very odd for him to do that.
Yeah, it is.
And not to say he's doing that. Yeah. The Nishmas of Ram also dealt with this. How does it fit into Yehudah Kupsari? Hey, it's the laws of Nida. And Shimush, the woman taking care of her husband. That's where this comes in. So take a look at Source Chav Gimel. Kasav li agon Roshlom Zalman Orbach Zatzal. Efshar shekulam b'nei mishpacha achas. He says Roshlom Zalman believed it was a kolisha problem for a woman to lay in front of men. But he said, maybe we're talking about where they're all members of the family. Oh, Shekoreis tov ach b'li nigun shalat ha'amim. Or maybe she reads well, but without doing the notes. And maybe that's what we're talking about. V'shamati me'agon Rav Azriel Auerbach shlita shegam chamiv hagon Rav Yosef Shalom Eliashiv shlita heshiv lokein. Rav Eliashiv also was of this opinion. That it, similar to what the Tzitzeliezer did. He's limiting where the Gemara was actually talking about. Okay, but that's all the first school, which is yes, laning in front of men is a kol isha problem. The second approach is to say and really there are two answers, and then a third point. It's really the two, there really are two answers. One answer is kol isha is an issue. One answer is kol isha is not an issue. And then why is it not an issue? So that we have to look at. So the Kaf HaChayim says it's not a kol isha problem simply because it's not musical in Source Chav Dalet. V'yesh omer shanashem enen motziyos. He's commenting on the line in the Shulchan Aruch regarding Gilas Esther, and he says Baruch Eschaim Kasa B'shem Baal Hadibros, and he quotes that which we've already seen that it's kol isha. V'chol zel adas yesh omer, but he says that's only within the view of the yesh omer that say women can't do this for men. Aval ledeya harishona, but according to the first view, ein choshvin zeh hakol erva kevin she'eno shel shir. He says that's not called singing. Laning is not singing. He writes. I don't know how you decide that, but that's what he says. That's the first approach. The second approach to saying it's not kol isha is the more dominant approach. And that is the approach that says either this is a mitzvah you're doing, or it's something kodesh, and therefore you don't have to worry about kol isha concerns. And this is not just said by late-breaking Mechilim. Take a look at the Shevet Halevi, Rav Wozner, in Source Chav Hei. I defy anybody who wants to say that Rav Wozner is too megill. He says, "Ube'emes divrei kolbo kashim mishas megillah hanal." He says the view of the kolbo, who was again one of the two rishonim who he quoted, who said it was kolisha, that's difficult from the Gemara and Megillah, which we've already pointed out. Demikalah kavadat zibur davka kasher hedi kvot haraso. The issue is kavadat zibur. The altsara dochak. He says if you're stuck, yesh lomer de tamashas adiv gam kishikara b'lonegina de nechshav dibur be'alma. He says you could give the dechak answer, which we've already given, that maybe kavadat tzibur is broader because it includes if she's not leaning, she just reads. Mikom makom asim shu kavadat tzibur. Aval benigunu tamam asr mitam kol beisha erva. But if she would do it with notes, it would be kolisha. Mikom makom. But then he says more or less what Josh said. Pashtus hashas va'poskim huvade neged svaras hakol bo hanal. He says that's not. It just not, it doesn't fit the flow. At all. It doesn't fit to say that the Gemara was talking about these very limited cases. And that's why they used this phrase. So the Shevet Levi says, no, this is not a matter of Kolisha. He doesn't explain why. He says, it's not Kolisha. The Sweet Aish, in his famous tshuva on mixed singing at Kiruv events, this gets misquoted all over the place. The Sweet Aish did not say mixed singing is okay. If there's a group of men and women singing, don't worry about it. That's not what he said. He dealt with a number of factors in the course of his tshuva, and one of the points that he raises is these are Zmiros Kodesh. So in Source Chavav, he writes, V'yesh od snif lahatir Zmiros Kodesh, there's another reason to permit holy songs. Alpi mashkasav harama bevano ezir simen chav aleph, based on the Rama, who wrote, Shekol she'eno ose derech chiva, rak havanas l'shem shamayim mutter. That if the song is not, if the interaction is not a chiba interaction, your intent is for heaven, it's mutter. So he says, yesh lomar kevin sham mizamrim zmiros kodesh gam kein miskavnim l'shem shamayim. You could say that since those who are singing intend their song to be l'shem shamayim, kedei la'orer rigshot datiyim eitz l'avanot, in order to awaken religious fervor with the girls who are singing, v'lataz b'libam chiba l'kodshe Yisrael, to implant in them love for Kedusha, for the sanctified stores of Israel, yesh l'smoch al mekilim, you could depend on those who are lenient. And he quotes to the Gemara in Yuma, eis lasos l'ashem eferu tarasecha, and then he says, u'bevadai shedavar zen nimsa rak l'chazal l'achriya masai hua eis lasos u'ma mutar l'hafer. He says, let's not kid ourselves. It's up to Chazal to decide when you get to say eis lasos l'ashem eferu tarasecha, that we're actually going to override something within halacha for the sake of eis lasos. You can't play games with that idea. Nonetheless, v'ulam benidon she'ein kan iser gamur, if there really isn't a full-blown iser involved, It's more a matter of astringency that we have for piety, for tznius. Efshar lidrosh smuchin ulahatir beretz tzarfas. We could be dorish smuchin, so to speak. We could permit it in France. He's in Switzerland. Shekvar higia matzava yadut ad mashber. In the place where, really, there's a crisis in terms of the status of Judaism. V'imlo ne'achod be'emtza'im chinuchiyim menusim u'me'utarim ba'atzlacha. If we don't use the tried and true methods of outreach, ka'otam shel Ergun Ezra ba'ashkenaz, like they do in the Ezra organization in Germany, v'Ergun Yishurun b'tzarfat, and Yishurun does in France, asida tarachas v'shalom sh'teshtachach mi'Yisrael, God forbid tar can be forgiven, v'day l'meven. He says that's enough for those who understand. The link that I brought you at the end of that Svidei Eish is an article by Rabbi Jachter. Rabbi Jachter describes how he approached the Rav, he approached Rav Soloveitchik in the early 80s and asked him, do you agree with this heter that the Svidei Eish gave? And he says, I agree with everything that the Svidei Eish ever wrote except for one point. There's one case that he disagrees with. It was the heter for stunning animals before Shkita. But everything else, he says, I agree with him on, which obviously includes this, because that was the case he was actually asked about. So that is brought by some to say, so the laning is kadosh, and therefore it's not an issue. Rav Ovadia also takes this stance. Rav Ovadia writes in numerous places, in their footnote they quote what feels like every time Rav Ovadia ever said this. They quote like five or six different sources with Rav Ovadia. So I brought you one. From Shiurei Moran of Avadia Yosef. I didn't like this source as much because it's not him speaking, it's somebody recording his shiur. But it was a clear presentation, clearer than what I saw in the footnote in his tshuva in Yechavadas. So he writes, V'chein yechola isha likros ha-megillah b'ta'ameha b'tnei anashim acherim. A woman may lay in the Megillah with the notes in front of men. V'eim b'zechshash klal shal kol b'isha erva. There is no kol isha yishu. Kevin shezed dvar mitzvah v'ein shayach b'kozeh. It's a mitzvah. None of that is relevant. Now, that's the other side. So we have indeed two different camps. One camp saying Kol Isha is an issue, and the Gemara and Megillah has to be resolved either by saying they were talking about cases where it wouldn't be Kol Isha. She's in front of family, she's not singing, whatever you're going to say. Or Kavod Tzibur equals Kol Isha, the Aseh L'Charav's stance. The alternative is to say, no, Kol Isha is not an issue. Why? Either it's not musical, the position of the Kappa Chaim, or it's mitzvah, it's Kodesh. That's the other possibility. One added note, in response to the view that it's Kodesh, and that's why it's not Kol Isha, so the Rivvos Ephraim actually suggests that you have to be more strict when it's Kodesh, not less so. This is the last source we're going to see. The Rebbe Ephraim quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, who writes, L'shmoa kol ha'erva asur. And then the Smag adds, L'shmoa kol ha'erva asur ulaharher behu. It's asur to hear the kol erva and to think about it. Mashma, that indicates, Rak ba'ofen de'maharher asur avo b'lav hachi mutter. It's only if you are thinking about it, that's when it's asur, otherwise it's mutter. V'chol zanira rak b'makom she'ein tefila. However, he says that's only if it's not a davening circumstance. That's where the Smag says that. Avo b'makom tefila, kasav achasim sofer b'choshen mishpa kutsadi, dahad da'asur l'shmoa kol erva ki anu ma'aminim, shakol tefila o shevach o hodash nis'ari v'machshava ha'hi shum hirhur, afilu beishto lo taleb malos lifnei Hashem yisbarach lo tekubal afanav. The Chasam Sofer explained, why is it that I am so concerned about erva at a time when you're davening? Because if you're listening to her singing when you're davening, then the tefillah is unacceptable to Hashem. And so therefore, in a case of tefillah, it's actually worse to have the kol, and we're going to be more strict, not less strict. So in response to those who will give you the argument of this is Dvar Mitzvah, this is Dvar Shevikdusha, and therefore it's not Kol Isha, the truth is, the argument from the Rivvos Ephraim, which he doesn't make explicitly, I'm making it on his behalf, but the argument from the Rivvos Ephraim would be, no, just the opposite, you have to be more strict, not less so. So the upshot of, is it an issue of Kol Isha? The truth is, a few weeks ago in one of the Shiurim, I was more flippant about it and said, no, there's no Kol Isha issue, the only question is why. But the truth of the matter is that there's a fairly strong school of thought that believes that there absolutely is a matter of Kol Isha to be contended with. So that concludes the 11-week discussion of this issue. I told Adam when I started, not you, Adam Freiberg, that this was going to take forever. And I think it was Yotze forever. All right? Shkayach.